Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps on this cold, snowy day of January the 19th, 2025, coming from the bustling metropolis of Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the podcast. Today's Sunday message has to do with why America deserves what's unfolding with Donald Trump, made possible and brought to pass by the Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order, in its final attempted takedown of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist, historically Calvinist America, which is a great minority now of people in this empire. And the Jesuits are going to apparently get their way unless there is a great awakening and a return to the Reformation Bible, a return to the doctrines of the Reformation, the five solas, and a true repentance from sin and a turning to God the Father, repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ, as the book of Acts says, which is the gospel, includes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, was buried and rose again, calls all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30, and that gospel is clearly given in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, how the Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again according to the scriptures. And upon believing that glorious gospel, the Lord saves you. For whosoever believes on him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the gospel is the contract by which we are transferred from being in the condemned status of Adam into the saved status of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now in Christ, once having believed the gospel, having accepted the offer of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. So, to have a comprehension of what is happening now, we need to go back approximately 100 years. Because remember, the study of history is going upstream into the river and then floating down the river and seeing where you arrive today, how you got there. There's no such thing as knowing what's happening today unless you know the history of the last, at least in this instance, the last 100 years. So it would be my attempt today to give you some high points of these last 100 years to show you that today there is no draining the swamp. There is no making America great again. And definitely at the hand of that liar and deceiver. Now, well, to be inaugurated tomorrow on January 20th, pursuant to the 20th Amendment, when the Commander-in-Chief is inaugurated. The President was inaugurated on March 4th. The last one to be inaugurated on March 4th was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 32nd degree Freemason. But now this President or Commander-in-Chief that will be inaugurated tomorrow is another 32nd or 33rd degree Freemason. He's an ecumenical Christian, quote-unquote. He's the perfect man to be president, also in the cahoots with the Jesuits and the Roman hierarchy, because tomorrow at his inauguration, from what I understand, it's going to be the Archbishop of New York City, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, who's going to say the prayer or give the benediction or whatever you want to call it at his inauguration. And remember, the Archbishop of New York City was called by Pope John II the Archbishop of the political capital of the world, the most powerful political powerful man, Prince of the Church in America, is the Archbishop of New York City. From there he runs the banks. All the big banks are in New York City. From there he runs the politics, both the Democratic and Republican Party, because from there he controls the Council on Foreign Relations out of New York City that was established in 1921 to control both the Democratic and the Republican parties by members in the CFR. So we are reminded of a verse in Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, bring them to light. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So, we are to then see then that ye walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So, we are going to expose the works of darkness, the works of Jesuit darkness, especially here in America, by giving you a past history of the Protestant churches, just a general history over the last 100 years. Remember, we have the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation begins in 1517, when Martin Luther nails the 95 objections to the Roman papacy's doctrines on All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and thereby begins the Reformation. Luther is the father of the Reformation. Without Martin Luther, there is no Protestant Reformation. There is no Luther Bible. There is no great Protestant Prussia that was destroyed at the end of World War II in 1946. There is no Western civilization with all the high advancements that we had and that we have been the authors of. And so without, and that includes, of course, the abolition of the slave trade that the Pope started with the Portuguese in 1435 with Antonio Gonzalez, according to History of Slavery and the Slave Trade by W. O. Blake, 1860. You need to get a copy of that. So we have all these high developments, mankind excelling, all these new inventions as a result of the Bible being in the hands of the common man in his language, in the vulgar tongue, quote-unquote. And the Bible in the vulgar tongue in the hands of the common man is utterly condemned by the Jesuit order's evil, wicked, and filthy Council of Trent that took place in Trent, Italy, from 1545 to 1563. There they set out to destroy the Reformation, and they accursed all the major doctrines of the reformers of the Protestant Reformation, and they ended the Council of Trent by stating, "Accursed, accursed be all heretics." That's how it ends. There's nothing tolerable in Romanism, especially ecumenicalism, because that's what it was called, the Ecumenical Council of Trent. Anything ecumenical is sin. Anything ecumenical goes right back to the papacy. That's why a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christian, and I'm particularly a Baptist Christian because I believe in the Baptist distinctives that no other Protestant or Baptist, no other Protestant church has, that we are not to participate in these unfruitful works of darkness of the papacy by kowtowing to their designs of destroying the Reformation and restoring the Pope's dark ages thanks to their counter-reformation. So, Bible-believing, true Christian people, which are Protestants and Baptists, believing the Bible of the Reformation, and the Bible of the Reformation for English-speaking peoples is the authorized version of 1611 in its present edition of 1769 for English-speaking peoples. The Bible for German-speaking peoples is the Luther Bible of what, 1525, thereabouts. 1525. So, we have the Lutherans with their Protestant Bible from Luther, we have the Anglicans, and we had the Episcopalians, and we had the Presbyterians, and then we have the Baptists, which are not Protestants. And then all of these different sects being essentially Bible-believing Christian people having separated and departed from that mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, the Roman Catholic institution, present-day Babylon, covered with Christian garb. has nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing to do with political liberty, nothing to do with raising up people to have a better lot in life other than by their socialist communism, where they take from the haves and give to the have-nots to make the haves have-nots. That's Romanism. Socialism is sin. It will always be sin. There will always be socialism as long as Romanism's here. And Karl Marx, who was tutored by Jesuit Peter Bex, said the end game of all socialism is communism. Communism. And the Jesuits are the masters of communism. They founded communism in its present state when they perfected it on their Paraguayan reductions in South America from 1609 to 1759 for 150 years. So you cannot talk about communism unless you're going to talk about Jesuitism. They're synonymous systems, because in each system there is no middle class. Everybody is reduced to the lowest common denominator, as the great author of Screwtape Letters said in his Screwtape Proposed the Toast, cut them all down to the same level, to the same cipher, where there are no great men anymore. C.S. Lewis, he rightfully said that. That was the design of the Jesuit order. As said in the Screwtape Letters, they didn't name the Jesuit order, but what they're doing in the Screwtape Letters when the demon is talking to a lower demon is exactly what the Jesuits are about. So, the Jesuits in their Counter-Reformation have attacked all the Protestant churches and sought to reduce them to servility, to the Pope of Rome, even though they maintain their Protestant titles. They maintain their Protestant label. They maintain their Baptist and Protestant form on the outside, but inside it is strictly socialist, communist, universal equality, feminazi, communism, Romanism, Jesuitism. That's what all these Protestant churches are today. And the means by which the Jesuits brought this about was first the Federal Council of Churches, then the National Council of Churches, and then the World Council of Churches. Any church that's a member of any of those organizations is in sin. It is apostate. It has departed from the one true God of the Bible. It is no longer a church of Jesus Christ, for which reason I believe the Lord has raised up Islam to wipe them out. He's raised up Islam to wipe out these apostate Christian churches, because how dare they take the name of Jesus Christ, being really in their church Horus or Ninus of ancient Babylon. This is not Christianity. None of it is Christianity. The Northern Baptists, it goes on and on, the Presbyterians, but I'll get to this. But I want you to know that I am not in defense of all Christianity. Absolutely not. And to defend all Christianity is wrong, because you would be defending then these apostate Protestant, apostate Baptist churches. And I don't defend them. We should not defend them. We should reprove them. We should bring to light their sin and their compromise and their unity with the Pope of Rome. Because of all these leaders of these churches, they all go to see the Pope. They all go to kiss his ring. How dare any man of God go to see the Pope and kiss his ring, or ask for an audience from that sinner, that Alibaba, king of the 40 thieves. How dare they? Protestant preachers utterly hate the papacy and its doctrines. Bismarck, the great Otto von Bismarck said, a priest can be saved, but no Pope can be saved. For which reason and other reasons, the Jesuits sought to kill Bismarck on two occasions, his attempted assassination on two occasions. Every true Lutheran German ought to have a photo of Bismarck in their home. So, the Jesuits set out then to counter the Reformation, which is called their Counter-Reformation. And as the son of General Sherman said, the son was Thomas Sherman, in a book titled The General Son, he said, the purpose of the Jesuit order, and Thomas Sherman was a Jesuit, he was an advisor to Theodore Roosevelt, Thomas Sherman said, the purpose of the Jesuit order is to fight and down the Protestant Reformation. And that's exactly what the doctrines of the Jesuits state in their Council of Trent and other writings. So, the first thing the Jesuits sought to do is they sought to replace the Reformation Bible with a counterfeit. Replace the Reformation Bible with a counterfeit, and they would attempt that in the 1800s. The Protestant Reformation was known as the Bible being the final authority, their little Latin phrase, sola scriptura, only the scriptures, was their final authority, and their final authority of the scriptures was the Textus Receptus that springs from Erasmus, and then William Tyndale, and then ultimately Robert Stevens, and then ultimately Theodore Beza, and then ultimately Elsevier. But it's the Textus Receptus, and it's the fifth edition of the Textus Receptus that was used to translate the New Testament for the AV 1611 Bible. That is the Bible, that's the text out of Antioch. But the devil has his text, and his text is out of Alexandria, Egypt. And that text would be ultimately Jerome's Latin Vulgate that would be reflected in all the oldest and best manuscripts, Sinaiticus and Vaticanicus, and those other sinful documents that were not the scriptures. And so, the devil had to seek a way to get those corrupted scriptures, of which only 5% or thereabouts are represented in the some 6,000 extant Greek manuscripts. The rest of it's all Textus Receptus. So he has to get a fake Greek Testament in place in order to revise and create, come out with a new English Bible for Great Britain, and later then a new English Bible for America. And this was the design of the Jesuits. And they talk about this in their book, The Jesuit Conspiracy by Abbot Jacob Leone. And he quotes the Jesuits by saying, "That serpent, it wraps around us, it bites us until we are able to grab it, until we're able to neutralize it." It's all in that book. So they set out to, they knew they couldn't destroy the scriptures because Christ said that not one jot or one tittle will be taken away until all is fulfilled. But they knew they could deceive the nations into adopting other Bibles that were in fact not the scriptures. And when those churches would do that, they would lose their power. They would lose their power, they would lose their protection, they would lose the blessing of God when they would begin to adopt these heretical Bible versions. So the Jesuits set out to do this with rationalism. If you read Popery, Puseyism, and Jesuitism by Luigi De Santis, written in about 1852, published in 1870, he tells you in there that German rationalism is a work of the Jesuits. German rationalism is a work of the Jesuits. And so the Jesuits, in creating rationalism, are going to apply this evil, wicked doctrine of rationalism to the scriptures called higher criticism. Higher criticism. And there would be certain German infidels that would promote it, connected with their infidel Lutheran seminary in Tübingen, Germany. And some of those men were like Lachmann and others. And they are going to deny the Mosaic authorship of the Pentateuch. They're going to be the apostles of infidelity and denial. And out of this Lutheran cemetery, we come these Lutheran infidels that would be using this Bible that would ultimately begin to subvert the Lutheran church that was the foundation for Protestant Prussia, which made Protestant Prussia the greatest nation in Europe and the most financially potent and militarily powerful. So the Jesuits knew they had to get this choke point. They had to get the Lutheran Bible to be rejected by the Lutherans of Prussia and Sweden and other historically new Lutheran nations before they could take over the country politically. First we get the spiritual power, then we get the temporal power. And remember, The papal flag has two keys on it. A golden key, the state, the Pope has all spiritual power, and there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. And then he has the silver key, that the Pope has all temporal or political power, that no nation has the right to be self-governing, apart from the Pope telling his political leaders what to do. And that's why they have the Council on Foreign Relations, to tell those political leaders that have filled every administration of every president since 1921. And they're going to tell those presidents, he's going to name them as in their administration, to guide, to do what the papacy wants through their apostolic delegate. And then in 1984, he became the papal nuncio, the absolute representative from the Pope from Rome, thanks to that another arch traitor, Ronald Reagan, when he acknowledged with the approval of the traitorous U.S. Senate, acknowledged sovereign state of Vatican City in 1984, and hence now we can have a wonderful little political ambassador from that man, that from the forerunner of the man of sin in Rome, the Pope. Because every Pope is an Antichrist, every Pope is holding the position of the man of sin yet to come in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the beast of Revelation 13, Revelation 19. So, the Jesuits, being the great forerunners of Antichrist, have to neutralize the Protestant Reformation and thereby able to take over the Protestant nations and their governments and then use them for their purposes. That was their design. So, we read in Chinnicky's 50 Years in the Church of Rome about the meeting in New York, in Buffalo, New York, in 1852, where the Jesuits said at a meeting with other priests, "We, like you, intend to rule the United States, but we must be cautious in how we do it. We must bring our faithful Irish Catholics into America, populate them in the major cities, and when we conquer the major cities, the farming communities will fall. Yes then we will rule the United States and do away with this godless system of freedom of conscience." Yeah, you can read that in Chinnicky's book, 1886 it was written. Classic work, you should have it for your library. And so the Jesuits plotted back in 1852 to do this. This would also include plotting the war between the states, because the key Jesuit in the north would be Bernardin F. Wiggett, the Jesuit of the radical Red Republicans, the Jesuit who would oversee the assassination cabal in Washington at Mary Surratt's house, Jesuit Bernardin F. Wiggett. The other Jesuit in the South was the chief chaplain of the South, whose name was Darius Hubert, and you can get a book on him. First chaplain of the Southern Confederacy. So you have the Jesuit in the South, you have the Jesuit in the North, and they're going to facilitate both sides acting secretly together for the destruction of the white Protestant South, or at least the beginning of its destruction. And then after this horrible war that was facilitated by the papacy, of which Lincoln acknowledges when he speaks to Chinnicky, as recorded in the 50 Years in the Church of Rome, they then will begin to turn America, the greatest Protestant nation in the world apart from Great Britain, they will begin to turn America and use America to further the Jesuit design of reducing all nations to the temporal power of the Pope, financially with its banking system, as well as politically with its political clout, as well as militarily with its military now. So, the United States of America would be this great tool, this great hammer of the Jesuit order to reduce all nations to the Pope's temporal power by way of imposing socialist communism. Communism, a work of the Jesuits, and this military government of the United States of America imposed on March 9, 1933, would be the biggest builder of communism in the world. As I've said for years, this military government of the United States is the greatest communist government in the world. And we Americans have been so dumbed down and preoccupied with sports and whatever that we do not know who rules Washington and to what end it's serving. So, as a result of rationalism, German rationalism, that the Jesuits controlled, according to Luigi De Santis, in his book Popery Puzziism, from E.B. Puzzi, and Jesuitism, they are now going to have a secret Greek text that was sneaked into the revision committee for some 10 years, and Prebendary Scrivener would be there to record every change of that secret Greek text from the Textus Receptus, and there are 5,788 of them. So they have this corrupted pro-Jerome's Latin Vulgate Greek text. Remember, the Jesuits consider Jerome's Latin Vulgate to be the scriptures. Fourth session, Council of Trent, of the 25 sessions. And so therefore they have to seduce the Protestants into accepting a Bible that is really secretly pro-Catholic, pro-Jesuit, pro-Jerome's Latin Vulgate. And so they have this secret Greek text that they bring in. And by the way, the John Cardinal Newman was invited to sit on that committee, who was a traitor to the Anglican Church, with his tract 90, until he was driven out of England, driven out of the Anglican Church, and later on, Pope Pius IX made him a cardinal, because he did such a good job in seeking to destroy or compromise the Anglican Church with its 39 articles. So, they're busy with their revision. And in 1881, they came out with their abomination called the English Revised Version. This is the New English Bible. And there are some that will have the King James alongside the English Revised to show you how much better the English Revised Version is, when it's a piece of heretical papal trash put together by Protestants that were secretly serving the papacy through high-level Freemasonry. Because Freemasonry is the vehicle by which the Jesuits have used to penetrate the Protestant churches and the Baptist churches to get them to be soft on Romanism so that they will never protest one thing of the Roman papacy. So, 1881, they come out with their New English Bible. It's different from the King James in some 30,000 places. Tell me, how many places do I have to change the writings of Shakespeare when it ceases to be the works of Shakespeare? And of course, Shakespeare was not Francis Bacon. Shakespeare was Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford. You must read This Star of England by Dorothy and Carlton Osborne, some 1,000 pages. It's a classic work on it. And you can also read the introductory work called The Renaissance Man of England by the same authors. And you will see that it was Edward de Vere who read the Geneva Bible and quotes the Geneva Bible throughout his works, who is the true author of the Shakespearean plays. To advocate as William Shakespeare or even Francis Bacon is an absolute error. So, as a result of the Reformation, the Bible in the hands of the common man, we have the writings of William Shakespeare, considered to be the greatest poet ever, who ever lived. Dorothy and Carlton Osborne say that England was not worthy of him. But that's another topic. So, we have this new Bible for England, 1881. And we're going to have a new Bible for America. Because we have to undermine the two great Protestant pillars of civilization if we are going to restore the temporal power of the Pope. So therefore, we have to get them at the choke point, the Bible that they use. Great Britain used the King James. America used the King James. So we have to undermine the King James or get the people not to trust it anymore, and we have to put out another Bible, quote-unquote, that is a counterfeit. In England, in 1881, they put out the English Revised Version. In America, in 1901, they put out the American Standard Version, which is another corrupted Bible. I find it intriguing about this time, from 1881 to 1901, we have the scramble for Africa, when the Jesuits will use seven white nations, thank God America was not one of them, to go into Africa and to colonize and to and to take whatever they can out of Africa. Since slavery was abolished, okay, we are going to abolish slavery now, the African slave trade. Not abolish slavery, but we're going to abolish African slave trade. Why, then we'll just conquer Africa. Britain was a part of it. Germany was a part of it. Austria was a part of it. America was not part of it. We white men of America didn't have any part of that. And so when you have the departure from the scriptures, you begin to have tyrannical events, more tyrannical events committed by governments of nations that the Jesuits control. And remember, the Jesuits controlled the British Empire since no later than the inauguration or the crowning of King George III in 1760. Since then, the British Empire has been doing the bidding of the Jesuit order. That's why the 19th century was called the British century, and the 20th century was called the American century by none other than Knight of Malta, Henry Robinson Luce, owner of Time Life, purchaser of the Zapruder film for $150,000 so they could suppress the true events that took place on that assassination day of Kennedy on November 22, 1963. So we have 1881, the English Revised Version, and 1901, the American Standard Version. And later on, they're going to have in 1952, the Revised Standard Version, which has been called the Revised Standard Perversion, because in Isaiah 7:14, they do not translate the word Alma as virgin, they translate it as young woman, and that is a great departure from the King James and the other English Bibles, like the Geneva Bible. So this is the National Council of Churches' connection to the Revised Standard Perversion, and you're going to see the Jesuit connection to the National Council of Churches as well as the Federal Council of Churches, which I'm going to touch on now. So, 1901, we got the American Standard Version. In 1908, the Jesuits, using their Rockefeller clan, create the Federal Council of Churches, and one of the leading men there is a notable infidel named Harry Emerson Fosdick. Okay, and all these guys are abolitionists, by the way. All these guys are socialist, communist, abolitionists. Radical emancipation in the South. That way we can destroy the South. We don't care about the black man. Radical emancipation didn't help the black man. It helped hurt him, and it hurt the white men of the South. We should have had gradual emancipation, as was happening when blacks were gradually going back to Liberia, to Africa, and that would not destroy them or destroy the white men of the South. But no, we're going to have radical emancipation. That's what we're going to do. By these socialist, communist, radical red Republicans, these infidels, including Thaddeus Stevens and others, so that we can wreck the white Protestants and black Baptists of the South. We're going to wreck them. And we're not going to advocate that they should have their own country somewhere or give them some land. God forbid we should do that. No, we're going to keep them down, and we're going to make it even worse after the war. We're going to put them under Jim Crow and create a legitimate agitation that would justify the Jesuit order civil rights movement in the 1930s that would start with A. Philip Randolph, overseen by Jesuit John Lafarge. Get the book of Catholic Interracialism, talks all about John Lafarge and tells you that the purpose was to forcefully race mix the whites of the South, and they couldn't care less about the blacks. They were using the blacks against the white men of the South that were the greatest fighters and the most devoted Protestants and Baptists in the world at the time. That's why the South was called the Bible Belt, and it was the King James AV 1611 Bible Belt. So Rockefeller backed it, the founding of the Federal Council of Churches. And Rockefeller was a Jesuit coadjutor. He was a high-level Freemason. One of my former associates recommended a book titled The Career of John D. Rockefeller. Rockefeller and His Career, written in 1912. And in that book, it tells you that he modeled his Standard Oil oil company after the Jesuit order, and he considered himself to be the Jesuit general. So Jesuit general of Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller, is the one who backs the founding of the Federal Council of Churches, which is socialist, communist, modeled on the designs of the Paraguayan reductions of the Jesuits in South America. So, we have the Federal Council of Churches. And what's that for? To seduce these Protestant churches to join. We're so divided. We're divided into these denominations, and we really need to unite. They're not uniting around the gospel. They're not uniting around the Reformation Bible. They're uniting around an ecumenical movement to bring all the Protestant churches back to the control of the Jesuits running the Roman papacy. Federal Council of Churches is sin. And then later on, the Jesuits would establish the World Council of Churches in 1948, 3 years after the Second 30 Years' War, from 1914 to 1945. And in this World Council of Churches, we're going to bring in all the churches, the Orthodox Church, all the Protestant churches, the Anglican Church, the Lutheran Church. We're going to bring them all into the World Council of Churches so we can all work together for the Pope. And then in 1950, the Jesuits in America would found the National Council of Churches. So the Federal Council of Churches would become the National Council of Churches. And in this National Council of Churches, guess what? None of them are going to use the AV 1611 Bible. None of them are going to denounce the Roman papacy. Either the Pope is the Antichrist or the papacy is the Antichrist. Remember, the doctrine of the papacy being called the Antichrist was a doctrine of John Wycliffe, and it was not correct, but the spirit was correct. I mean, every pope is an Antichrist. As Ian Paisley said, the papacy is the dynasty of the Antichrist. And as others have said, including myself, the final pope of Rome will be the Antichrist. So, the Federal Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, they're all going to be socialist, communist, anti-white, anti-Protestant. They're going to be feminazi. They're going to be feminists, pro-female, anti-male, pro-black, anti-white, the typical Jesuit communist design in destroying historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization where the men were in charge and the women submitted and helped their man. Now it's reversed. The women are ruling and the men are submitted to their women, and that's further destroyed Western civilization. You gotta hand it to the Jesuits. They know what they're doing in destroying a civilization. So, if you check out the website of all the churches, quote-unquote, that are members of the World Council of Churches and National Council of Churches, it's all of them, except a few. There's a few little Baptist churches and a few little Bible churches. Of course, the Bible churches generally have departed from the King James Bible. I used to go to one. And the Presbyterian. There's a few Presbyterian churches. So a few Presbyterian, a few Baptist churches. Other than that, all the rest have join the World Council, the National Council of Churches, the Mennonites. What a disgrace. The Brethren around here. World Council of Churches. National Council of Churches. Apostate. The Mennonites have not departed from the King James Bible, but they are associating, they're fellowshipping with these evil, wicked churches and evil, wicked people that are running them. Full of Freemasonry. These churches now and the World Council, National Council are fraught with Freemasonry, which neutralizes any true church, any true preaching of the Bible. So, this is what we have. It's Satan's conspiracy to neutralize the Protestants and the Baptists in destroying white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. So, we have the churches now, for the most part, are apostate. And they're apostate today, but they were going into that apostasy and embracing that apostasy in the 1930s. And what happens in the 1930s politically? You first have the apostasy of the churches. Now you have the political trend towards more centralism of power and dictatorship. What happened on March 9th, 1930, and by the way, also, now that we're neutralizing the Protestants, we're going to bring in millions of Roman Catholics as immigrants into the United States, And we're going to have Ellis Island there, and the Statue of Liberty, that pagan thing given to us by the Freemasons of France, which should be taken down. And there at the Statue of Liberty, all these pagan Roman Catholic Italians and others are going to be coming in, and they can see the Statue of Liberty, and that was written on it by that Jewess, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, oh, kiss and send me the homeless tempest tossed to me. I left my lamp beside the golden door. That trash. No, don't send him to me. I don't want him here. You leave them back in their Roman Catholic trashed countries like Italy and Poland and Austria. Leave them there in their tyrannies in Spain and Portugal. Leave them in those backwards Roman Catholic countries where there's no middle class, no real rights of freedom of speech, press, thought. No, I'm going to bring them over here. So they can ultimately be brought to places of political power and then tell the white Protestants and the Baptists what to do, rule their cities, rule their countries. And that's exactly what the Jesuits said in 1852 at their meeting in Buffalo, and that's what they have done. And not only that, we're going to bring the Colonna over here, one of the 10 foremost Roman Catholic giga-rich families. We're going to bring the Colonna over here and their mafia. So we're going to have the Italian Roman Catholic mafia here that's Masonic. And so it's going to take care of all the organized crime that these Roman Catholics are bringing with them, like gambling and prostitution and dope and you name it, because now we're going to make a huge profit there, and we'll then be able to take over major businesses. We're going to go legitimate, and we'll control the economy. Yeah. And the Jesuits are telling the Mafia Dons what to do. There's not one Mafia Don that's not ultimately controlled by a Jesuit. That includes Gambino, Lucchese, all of them. So we have the Roman Catholic Mafias over here, and we have the Roman Catholic immigrants. And those immigrants, by the way, were immigrants. They had to learn English, and they wanted to be Americans, many of them. I know some descendants of those Roman Catholic immigrants. I have a dear friend in Lebanon who is one of them. And they were patriotic Americans, and they loved the middle class, and they loved having freedom of conscience. And the papacy really didn't like that when their Roman Catholic people were observing certain Protestant maxims. They liked gun ownership. These Italian Catholics love gun and owning guns. Well, that's a Protestant Baptist right. The Second Amendment comes from Baptist and Protestant white men writing the Constitution. No Catholic wrote that. Catholic countries today don't have gun ownership. You bring a gun down to Mexico and see how long you're out of jail. Catholic nations don't have gun ownership. So. And also we're going to bring in those millions of Jews out of Russia and other places that are all socialist communists too. So make sure you're bringing all those socialist communists. I'm not against bringing Jews here, but they better not be socialist communists, just like anybody else better not be socialist communist. The Constitution wasn't made for socialists and communists. So it was made for white men who were rugged individuals, who read the King James Bible, who knew how to pray and get hold of God, that he would intervene on their behalf, answer their prayers, and begin to bless their businesses and their homes and their country. So, in the 1930s, we have the Great Revolution, the Great Coup d'etat in America. And please listen to me carefully. Somebody needs to do a video on this. And it's about in 1933 when FDR, at the height of the Great Depression in 1933, called upon the Trading with the Enemy Act and invoked one of its sections, Section 5B, to impose an emergency war powers military government in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, you have not been under civilian government since 1933. It's been, March 9th, 1933, in a couple of months, 2 months or so, it's going to be 92 years we've been living under emergency war powers military government. How do you like that? And do you know the one who oversaw FDR doing that, imposing this temporary departure from the normal affairs, as you read in the book called On Our Way, supposedly written by FDR in 1934? They say in that book, FDR says, we do not intend to return to the old order. We're not going to get rid of this military government. And now guess what? At that time, every American citizen was converted into a U.S. citizen. And according to Title 15 in the United States Code, a U.S. citizen is a U.S. business. You like that? That's right. That's right, U.S. citizen. The government, the emergency war powers military government in this country, considers you to be a U.S. business because you're clothed, you're cloaked with an ens legis, an all caps entity, an artificial person. So the banks only see you as an artificial person when you set up a personal account. So the courts only see you as an artificial person if you're sued civilly or prosecuted criminally. They're all flying military colors because you're an enemy belligerent. Whether you be black, white, Jew, Gentile, we're all equal now. That's right. We're all, as Romney said, we're all a bunch of little corporations now. This U.S. citizen is a U.S. business. It's a little corporate soul. As long as you're clothed with this entity. And now you're also deemed enemy belligerents. Living on your property that's deemed to be an occupied territory. Because we're under emergency war powers military government, the country's under military occupation, has been under military occupation in the law since March 9th, 1933, with Proclamation 2040, approved and affirmed by the Emergency Banking Relief Act of Congress on March 9th, 1933, which is 12 United States Code 95 A and B, now put in a footnote in Trading with the Enemy Act 50 U.S.C. 4305B, put in a footnote. They wanted to hide it from you. They omitted it from Title 12 because you can't know now, boy. You're an enemy belligerent. We're waging war on you, boy. White man, black man, Asian man, woman, man. We're waging war on you, you enemy belligerents. We made that Libra Code. We put that in part of the Hague Convention, 1907. 1907 of the Hague Convention is the law of land warfare. It's the foundation for law of land warfare. And this emergency war powers military government is waging war against you every day, U.S. citizen, enemy belligerent, resident alien. You are nothing more than commercial integers to work, 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 work. Pay your Social Security. Have nothing when you're ready to retire so you can die with zero. And we've deboshed your money, so your money's worthless. It's just nothing but a bunch of pot metal now. You know your pennies are zinc coated with copper. Did you know that? We don't have any silver coins. We haven't had any silver since 1965. Haven't any gold coins since 1933. Well, the money we use is nothing more than money of account or money of exchange. There's no intrinsic value in it, and it's bogus, and so they can jack up and inflate it as much as they want, which is really reducing you to a greater slavery because you got to work harder to pay for the essentials. The military government is doing that to you, U.S. citizen. Christian, Bible-believing, born-again Christian that's a U.S. citizen, that's what they're doing to you. Why haven't the preachers told us this? I've told you. I've told you for 25 years. But what about the other preachers? Why aren't they telling you this? You know why? Because they're too gutless or too stupid to tell you or too lazy to dig this out and say, oh my God, in Jesus' name, look what the papacy's done to the people in my church. Look how they've reduced us to all enemy belligerents. They regard us as nothing more than businesses for their commercial purposes where they can impose a direct and uniform tax, which is not a constitutional tax, a direct and uniform tax on everything we do so they can keep jacking up the tax so we can keep paying more, working harder, not having any children, and then we can go off into fornication and pornography because we can't have all these children like we should be able to have, and so we're going to have no children, but we're going to entertain ourselves with sex because the military government is driving it down our throats. Yep. All this chem spraying. Do you know now they are spraying parasites? I just got a notice from one of my students sent it on my phone that from some doctor said that they're spraying jillions of parasites. And remember, the cause of cancer is a parasitic damage coupled with a fungus infection of the cell, as I've taught before. So they're giving us cancer with all their raining downs of their chem sprays. And they don't want you to know it now, boy, because you're an enemy belligerent and they're waging war on you. They're bombing you. They're bombing you with chem sprays. And if they're not bombing you with that, they're bombing you with energy, direct energy weapons, DEWs. And they're going to grab those weapons and they're going to set your houses on fire. But your trees aren't going to burn down, thank God. The houses can go with you in them, but we'll keep the trees. Isn't that nice? We'll do that in Hawaii, and we'll do it in California and a few other places because we're waging war on the heretic and liberal, apostate, Protestant, liberal, Catholic America. And when the Pope came here, he said, all these liberal Catholics, he said he didn't know it was as bad. So how have we come to this? With the apostasy of the Protestant and Baptist churches, having joined the World Council, National Council of Churches, Federal Council of Churches before, and having adopted these heretical, wicked Bibles that are pro-Jerome's Latin Vulgate, rather than the Bible of the Reformation and the Bible of the first century, the Textus Receptus. Remember, the oldest manuscripts are not the best manuscripts. You want to remember that. That's all bait for the idiotic. Erasmus rejected Vaticanus in the Vatican. He said it's corrupt. It didn't even have the book of Revelation in it. And yet they're going to send us to Bible college. We're going to learn that trash. We're going to be given Bruce Metzger's third edition of the Critical Text, or Kurt Aland's edition, or some of these other heretical Westcott and Hort Greek texts. God help us! So that the preachers will have no power. Then we're going to be scholars. We'll be scholars and we'll be scholastic and we'll be arid. And oh, that's interesting. God doesn't save anybody by just arid scholasticism and giving you facts. It's got to be preached by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not teaching, the foolishness of preaching. You need men whose guts are wrenched, hearts captivated to the truth of the Word of God. And then the Lord will begin to send a great awakening. You look back in the Netherlands, when the Netherlands became a white Protestant nation, the preachers there would preach to the Dutch and thousands of Dutch in open fields, and the preachers had 100 mounted troopers to protect them from the Catholic priests from being killed. And the people would cry out, "Oh God, forgive me! God, help me!" That's what was happening when they would preach in the open air. You get that three-volume set, The Dutch Republic by John Lothrop Motley. He tells of that. And that's what we need here. We need some fearless preaching with a King James Bible, and men are not afraid to suffer for the truth of God, and they've not been compromised by any compromising associations or with some phony baloney Bible other than the AV 1611 in its present edition of 1769. So, that's how we got here. First the churches went apostate, then we got military government. That was a judgment of God on his people for departing from his word and from associating with these infidels and being soft on Romanism in the 20s and going down in immorality with the roaring 20s during that time. And the birth of Hollywood by the Jesuits, so we can further demoralize the white Protestant and Baptist peoples and program them to sin against the Lord. So, that's the judgment of God. We've been living under that judgment for 92 years now, emergency war powers, military government. Every president has been a commander-in-chief, first and foremost. That's why they play da 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 da. Pay to the chief. He's not the president. He's the chief. He's the commander in chief. He's the dictator. We're under a constitutional dictatorship. White man, wake up. And I preach to white men primarily because it's our responsibility to restore this. We founded this country, we lost the country, and we can get back again if we but repent and seek the Lord and do that which is right. So, that's what we're going to see tomorrow when Trump, American Benito Mussolini, when he is inaugurated as the commander-in-chief, having deceived all the Baptists, like Jeffers in Dallas and any others, thinking that he's a man of God and we're going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for him that he repents of his conspiracy against us. Do you realize it was a phony, faked assassination attempt? You know, Trump was a party to that. You know, I probably rehearsed it before they did it over here in Butler, Pennsylvania. You realize that? And he looks at his hand and as though he's shot. And if you look at that video clearly, there ain't no blood there. That blood was put on him with one of those Secret Service agents. Slopped it on there, and yeah, now we can get it up there, and now we can have a photo shoot and fight with a fist up there. What a fake! A fake! It ought to make you angry! Outraged! Be ye angry and sin not. It ought to be outragingly angry of what this fake, phony baloney has done, aided by the press that's run by the Pope. And by the way, the press, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, all run by the Council on Foreign Relations, overseen by the Archbishop of New York City. And Rupert Murdoch is not only a Knight of Malta, but he's a Knight of the Equestrian Order. So we have Fox News bringing us into the new right. Thanks a lot. That's where all of us white men need to go, to the new right military dictatorship of Donald J. Trump. That's right. You say, are you for Biden? Of course not. Biden is another pimp for the Pope. Pimping for the Pope. I wanted to write a song. Pimping for the Pope. We're pimping for the Pope. Biden was... Well, had his little prayer at his inauguration. That prayer was done by a Jesuit, former president of Georgetown, Leo J. O'Donovan. He was also on the 17-member board of Walt Disney, showing you Disney's run by the Jesuits too. Corrupting your children as you watch The Lion King. God deliver us! And so, what we're going to have now, tomorrow, is this show of the inauguration of the man the Jesuits have been waiting to put in power for probably 100 years. They've groomed him. They've sent him to Fordham. He's also a military man because he went to a military school. He was a cadet. So he's versed in the arts of war. He's versed in economics. He went to Wharton School of Economics, where he got his MBA or whatever it is. He knows economics, war, he knows politics, he knows banking. He's recovered from bankruptcy, 3 or 4 times? You don't recover from that kind of bankruptcy unless you're with the big knights in New York City. And now he comes along, make America great again, the second Ronald Reagan. Yeah, Reagan paved the way for Trump to come here. Reagan was the false prophet and Trump's the Antichrist. How about that? And that's going to make all you white men really mad at me, but it's time you wake up! Stop living in your dream world that Trump's going to be some kind of a savior. Stop it. Wake up. Learn true history. Hitler came along. They portrayed him as a savior from World War I and the great economic collapse in Germany. What did he do? That wicked sinner, that Austrian Roman Catholic overseen by the Jesuits, destroyed Germany with his right-hand little man, Joseph Goebbels, minister of propaganda, fanatical Roman Catholic, trained by Jesuits in the Rhineland, to bring all the Protestant Germans into the fold of Nazism, to then be used for the destruction not only of Jews, but also of Protestants. And the SS would be modern after the Jesuit order. All of this stuff. Don't you think for 1 second the Department of Homeland Security hasn't been modeled after the Jesuit order? But they got Marcus Wolf over here to help set it up, that Jewish Freemason, head of the East German Stasi. I mean, come on. Wake up! I'll never forget this one black preacher I knew. Went to speak to his church years ago, and he started yelling, "Wake up! Stop it!" And I said, "Brother, you sure you should yell like that?" He said, "I want to wake him up!" And I learned that from him. I thought, okay, brother, you're right. They don't like me yelling, you don't like me raising my voice, then blame the black preacher who taught me how to do that. And he's right, that's right. So, this is what we have here. we have the, we're on the verge of this. And by the way, because the Jesuits were using Biden to bring in all these millions of Hispanic Roman Catholic invaders, brethren, they're not immigrants. Stop it! They're not immigrants, they're invaders. They've been brought here by the military government in District of Columbia. I didn't invite them in, did you? How about your congressman? Did they invite them in? No, they didn't. They just shoved us down our throat. And not only that, you got these black, savage, Muslim Somalis up in a historic white area of Minnesota. Yeah, because they hate white Protestants. And they make it sure that you know that. Yeah. Just go to Dearborn, Michigan and see how far you get as a white man that's going to read the Bible there. Those Muslims will drive you out of there because they hate you. They hate us. And they've come here to kill us. But that's going to be remedied, Ro, because Trump's going to round them out. He's going to round them all up. What's he going to do? He's going to send them back to Somalia? He's going to send them back to Pakistan? Or going to send them back to some other Muslim country? They're going to go to the camps. And so this is for all you alien invaders that hate white people and hate the Protestants and hate the Baptists. You're going to be rounded up by Protestants, apostate Protestants, World Council of Churches Protestants, National Council of Churches Protestants, working with their Roman Catholic friends in the Department of Homeland Security and others. And they're going to round you up and they're going to take you to the FEMA death camps. All you alien invaders here are going to die. Now, I've warned you for 20 years, and still, not a note. I did get a note from a Sunni Muslim, a Shia Muslim, telling me thank you very much for what you've done. Our Ummah listens to you on a regular basis. Well, I got a message from a Shia, but I haven't heard anything from any Sunnis or any Wahhabis. Of course not, because they're in on it. They want to see their people killed. It's a relief for them. Got to get rid of these low-level Muslims, so bring them all in the dumping ground of America. Got to get rid of these low-level Hispanic Roman Catholics, make them, put them in a dumping ground in America so they can all be rounded up and sent to the camps. And now, with the wall up there, guess what? You can't get out, boy. You can't get out. You can't escape. Trump's going to invade Mexico. We're going after the cartels. He's not only going after the cartels, he's going after Mexico. And it's part of making it the North America Union. He will be implementing that with Mexico, Canada, and U.S. into the North American Union. That's why they give $600 billion to Canada every year. They give $300 billion to Mexico every year. So much so for the, $6 billion that's given to Israel compared to that. He says, if we give him all this money, we might as well make him part of America. Because he's going to build the North American Union, the final coup d'etat for the Jesuits, and making this huge Axis power, as was Italy, Germany, and Austria. Now we're going to have Canada, we're going to have the U.S., we're going to have Mexico, it's going to be the North American Union. The money's already made when they do away with the Federal Reserve notes with all those white Protestant men on those notes. How dare we? We don't want to tolerate that jazz. That jazz. And this is what's coming. And we got plenty of feminists to facilitate it. That's right, you women that can get out there with all you feminists and you just get out and tap your feet and we're going to go along with Trump and he's going to be the savior. That's right. Yeah, you feminists have ruined white men. You've kept us from doing what we should do. You're always talking about equality and my rights and women's rights. Yeah, you wrecked us. Voting, women voting, God deliver us. No white Protestant nation ever had women voting. But we'll make them voters so we can destroy the Protestant nation of America. Yeah. With feminism. So, in conclusion, what's the solution? The solution is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. First, it's the spiritual solution, pardon me. And then the temporal political solution. So here's the spiritual solution. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and following. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion with light with darkness? That's a total denunciation of the National Council of Churches and World Council of Churches, because they're nothing but a bunch of unbelievers. They're not Christians. And those that are Christians, affiliated with them, are in sin. And so 2 Corinthians says, get away from them. Get out of the National Council and the World Council. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The Council of Churches are full of infidels. And the Southern Baptist Convention's full, got a million Freemasons in it. And I know some of you Southern Baptists are listening. Why are you a part of that? That facilitates the Masonic Lodge in your church. You need to get out! Take yourself, your abilities, your money, your history, and start something in your house. And if not, some little local church that you can start something. But get away from it. Why? Because the Bible says so. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jesus Christ lives in you. Don't you know that? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, we're already, God is already our Father, but he means it in a practical sense. He'll be our Father on a regular daily basis. Well, what are we to do? We are to come out from among them. All these Protestant churches need to get out of this wicked organization. They need to return to the King James Bible. They need to return to the old doctrines of the faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, or what, of 1648. The old Anglican 39 articles. And they need to start denouncing the Pope as the dynasty of the Antichrist. And no, we're not going to have any political connection with them. And we're kicking them. We're going to arrest all the Jesuits as conspirators, as soldiers to overthrow our government. And that is high treason. And therefore, we're going to put you to death. Just like the Japanese put those 22, 25, whatever, Jesuits to death. What, back in 1615 thereabouts, because they were to overthrow the Tokugawa shogun and the emperor. They put him to death, and rightfully they should have. Yeah, we believe in national sovereignty. We believe Japan is for the Japanese, and they have their boundaries, and that's for them, and nobody else, etc., etc. But oh no, this emergency war powers military government is responsible for Soviet communism. Do you realize that? Do you realize this military government has financed Soviet communism? Do you realize in Lend-Lease that with that Averill Harriman, that wicked skull and bonesman, that they gave $11.2 billion to Joseph Stalin in the Lend-Lease to give him all this military hardware for the destruction of Germany, Protestant Germany, when he invaded East Germany that was Protestant, Prussia? That this military government back to putting Mao in power. You read Edmund Parris's work, where it was Francis Cardinal Spellman overseeing the Secretary of State that made Mao come to power, brought Mao Zedong in power. And then this military government's given the Red Chinese all our military secrets. You get the book Year of the Rat on Bill Clinton when he did that Jesuit. This government, this emergency war powers military government, which is not my government, and it shouldn't be yours. It's my country, but it's not my government. It has built all the communist nations, the big ones, China and Russia, financed them, given them weapons, and they've also now built the Muslim nations, giving $85 billion worth of weapons to the fanatical Taliban so that they can be a power in that area and ultimately be used for our invasion, as I've warned for many years, the Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. All built by the military government in District of Columbia. So therefore, what do? Well, we separate from the apostate Christian churches, because they're really not Christian. And then we separate from the military government. And that is a declaration of independence on a county level, whereby you declare your independence from District of Columbia, from this emergency war powers military government that has destroyed us, forcefully race mixed us, miscegenated us, which is a sin against God, back the communist civil rights movement led by that leading communist Martin Luther King, aided by A. Philip Randolph, another black Freemason, overseen by Jesuit John Lafarge, shoving miscegenation down our throats when neither the blacks nor the whites wanted it. all for the destruction of historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. Well, they've already done it, and it's just going to be a matter of time when they got their military dictator in power here, and he starts doing these horrible things that I'm sure Trump will be doing. It's time to declare independence. That's a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Calvinist remedy to tyranny. That's what the Dutch did. That's what the we Americans did. That's what the Texans did in 1836 when they were delivered from the Jesuit tyranny and the Empire of Mexico. I mean, that's what we need to do now. The Mecklenburg Declaration of 1775, when Mecklenburg County separated from Great Britain with their Mecklenburg Declaration. It's one of the foundations for the Declaration of Independence. That was one of the authors was Roger Sherman, a Bible-believing Calvinist and Presbyterian who helped write it. A document of God, the Lord blessed him. That's what we need to do. It's time for separation, a biblical separation from the empire, and then we can set up our own new white Protestant and Baptist nation, and the blacks can set up their own new black Protestant Baptist nation, and we can border each other and help each other, but we're going to have racial separation unto nationhood, as we should, as God created the races to keep mankind separate, Genesis 9 and 10, where the nations were then started. And so we can have the Lord's blessing in our country and in our churches and in our personal lives. So in conclusion, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Set forth your Declaration of Independence in your county. And let the Lord doeth what seemeth good to him. If we do the right thing, he will do the right thing. Might kill us. We might die for it. The savages might kill us when we declare independence from them, but so what? At least we did the right thing, and we'll have a better resurrection. In conclusion, may the Lord bless you to do his will according to his word. AV 1611 Reformation English Bible, Brother Eric John Phelps, on this beautiful January 19th, Sunday, 2025, with my Sunday sermon. Until next time, Lord bless. Maranatha. One more thing, you can send your gifts to RBT. P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send it by Cash App to Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, Cash App. Or you can send it to PayPal at rbpbdonate, rbpbdonate.com. Appreciate your gifts, and most assuredly, most importantly, appreciate your prayers. Praying for me 2 minutes a day, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Need that most of all. So until next time, till next Sunday sermon, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.